Welcome back to Lonely Town, where it's lonely down on Track Street.
It is lonely down on Track Street sometimes, Jimmy.
Today we're going to be talking about This Is Your Life from Day and Age. This is one that I remember very clearly when it came out, when Day and Age came out, sending a text message to Derek saying, hey, did you hear this song? He's talking about Track Street. So we're going to talk about that one today.
I got that text message saved, Jimmy, screenshot.
I probably have it on one of my old phones that I never got rid of.
For some reason, I remember that, too. And that might have been the start of this podcast. Who knows?
When Hot Fuzz came out, it was the talk around town and among some of our friends about, hey, dear, Brandon Flowers is doing this, you know, whatever stuff we've talked about. But I think, I don't know, with Sam's Town that we really talked that much about it. And so when Day and Age came out, I think that was when we, you know, kind of made this connection that, hey, we have similar interest in texting about these connections to Nephi and stuff that part of Brandon's formative years that he keeps slipping into these songs.
It's kind of interesting, and we'll obviously break down and talk more about the song and the context and the storyline. I don't think it's a Nephi song per se, but there's some elements, and the use of Track Street is definitely referenced to Nephi, so... And we'll explain all that, but it's just kind of interesting as the song starts, too. It's a new sound. Again, I think the Killers have some freedom to start exploring different interests. They got budget, maybe, but it's a different sound to the start of a song, but it catches you, especially the first time you hear it. Usually you hear a song from an artist, and you hear the guitar, or you hear the voice, and you're like, oh, this is the Killers, or this is the Offspring, or this is, you know, yeah, it's very distinct and clear. When this starts, you don't think... oh, this is the Killers, which I think with Day and Age, they're doing some exploring and finding new sounds and keeping relevant or evolving, like I talked about a few weeks ago. I think it's smart. You can either be the same as, you can be different than, or you can be less than. And I think a lot of bands become less than versions of their previous selves because they keep trying to do the same thing over. It's hard to be better than, so most people go different than. And I think one thing that's kept the Killers relevant and able to sustain a career, putting out albums that people actually buy and not just say, oh, they got a new album out so they can justify going on tour, is they've been different then. And this song, for me, is different then. It's not a bad thing. It's not as good as, I mean, it's not chart-topping like some of their other songs, but it's not less than. So I like the different than approach a lot. And when we talked about, you know, by Pressure Machine and different albums and, you know, if you look back from each album, is a little different then. So I kind of like that approach.
Yeah, this is a song that has, it sounds like a looped recording of a couple people singing Woody Wop or something. Woody Wop?
I was going to wonder if you were going to do the impression there.
No, I'll avoid that. But, as we talk... We talk a lot about the inspirations for the songs that we find or that people have found and talked about online. This one has a similar beat to Road to Nowhere by Talking Heads. You listen to that song, go check it out. It definitely has a similar background beat or I don't know all the musical terms, but I can hear it and hear it in the song. And then I was listening to the song this morning at... bright and early, it wasn't even bright yet, it was still dark, 5:30. I was driving my son to his soccer practice, or football, as our friends like to call it. I started playing the song, and he said, this sounds like Bone Thugs and Harmony. This sounds like the Crossroads. Yeah, he didn't say Bone Thugs and Harmony. He didn't know the name of the artist, but he said, this sounds like the Crossroads song, and it's really short introduction, but...
Is that Uncle Charles? Is Uncle Johnny?
Yeah, I was. It was a proud dad moment that my 12-year-old son, first of all, that he knew what it was because I had introduced him to it at some point. A song that came out in 1986. There's a lot of musical potential inputs from other artists. I don't think the Killers had Bone Thugs in mind when they did it. But.
You're a lot prouder than my dad was when I brought home the Bone Thugs CD at 12. Yeah, like that was so if at the time, if I remember correctly, Mr. Ouija wasn't his favorite track. I think that was one of the songs on that album, if I remember right. I didn't have it for long. Yeah.
The other one I wanted to bring up was Walk on the Wild Side by Lou Reed. So you're nodding your head. Did you have a note on that one?
Yeah, I think I read somewhere that some people were making that connection. And at first I was like, well, that's kind of like, I mean, that's kind of weird. And then you listen to it and you're like, oh, I can see where they're coming from. I can see where that parallel's being drawn. And yeah.
Yeah, and I think especially with it, it's Lou Reed uses the name Candy and the name Jackie, which is hard to, you know, they're random enough names, or especially Candy as a name is probably unique enough that you think you would have to have been drawn from that place to have those two names in a song.
Yeah, we know he's a Lou Reed fan, and we know that Oasis was that inspiration for him, and that's why he wrote Mr. Brightside, or what was the response to, he went to Oasis and heard Don't Look Back in Anger, and he wrote.
I think that's when he decided he wanted to pursue the band. I don't remember
if it was Brightside or if it was one of those. I thought he said wrote as a response to that song too, or it because of that song, he decided to write this song almost as a reply kind of thing. Again, killer historians, let us know. maybe I'm just making this
up. Someone's yelling at their phone right now.
Yeah. You're an idiot. It was obviously somebody told me, and you're saying Brightside. Could be. But the point is, Lou Reed has these characters in a song. Brandon could have said, I'm going to continue the story, or a response to that story, or I really like that song, and as a tribute to Lou Reed, I'm going to put these members in our story and continue walking on the Wild Side. Also, something I thought was interesting was he uses Jackie as a character in Clock Was Ticking, which in that song, we'll cover it at some point, but is definitely referring to his mother and what was going on in her life at the time. We've talked about that with this album too, with health concerns and her diagnosis and things. So I didn't know if that was the same character or if it was just a good filler name. Obviously, I don't think Jackie in this song, which is more a throwback to Jimmy's Fancy video as far as kind of like a prostitute, I don't think his mother would be alleged or anywhere in that scenario, but the name being the same name kind of brought to mind of, is there a connection there that I'm missing?
Yeah, and I have a son named Jack, and we call him Jackie, so it's the more common name of the two. So, but I think the point is that to show that the main character in the song isn't going by a real name. She's going by a Candy is one of those names that's less common and might have implications that the person is really sweet. I'll just say that.
Yeah, and then the line, so you were telling the story of Candy talks to a stranger, thinks her life's in danger, and then it's just random, no one gives a damn about her hair. I don't know. Like, that seems a weird line as far as, is there some connection somewhere with who, I don't know. Is it they don't care about her hair because of what's going on and what they're after? Or is it just like she likes to do her hair up and look nice? I don't know. it's just a weird.
Yeah, I saw a comment online about, you know, obviously if she's
a prostitute.
If she's a lady of the night, then she's not, I don't know, whatever.
Not concerned. Yeah, it's kind of, and that's where this is probably more, I mean, it's a weird song that we're going to be talking a lot about, like prostitution and things. And obviously that's the world's oldest trade or whatever they call it. It happens everywhere, but I'd say Nevada is more synonymous with it than Nephi, but we're going to bring in Track Street here. So
there's a lot about, you know, your life could be better. You can leave this behind or there's no one behind you. Go somewhere where you're not, there's not someone following you around or, I don't know. There's a chance for a better life. So it gives an example of a life that someone probably got into and wishes they could get out of, but might be too difficult. Might think it's too difficult. So, yeah, it's kind of a setup for that, I think.
There's some good messages. Yeah, that's the other thing. There's some good messages coming here, some good ideas play on the story, too. So I guess we won't dwell a whole lot on the story, but you kind of got to talk about it. So it gets lonely down to Track Street, Jimmy. Could not be a more perfect title or line of any killer song, basically, for our podcast. It mentions Lonely Town. I guess you could make the whole Lonely Town song be more relevant to us, but not, you know, you could argue again, that's arguable. And then down on Track Street, and one of the things, like you said, that first pops up to us before we hear anything or know what the story's about, we hear Track Street, and for us growing up in Nephi, this was a nod back to, okay, Brandon acknowledges and remembers Track Street, which probably just needed a name for a street in the song. It's not like a common name, whatever, but first time hearing it, me and you start texting each other because that's a Nephi. That's a street from Nephi. That's a reference to, that's a wink and a nod to some of us that wondered if he even remembered. So
when you search in Google Maps for Track Street, it brings up a track street in London, but it's only about 100 feet long. And then there's a couple in Canada. There's one in Washington, Alabama. It's like, just making sure it wasn't like, there's one in every town. You know,
yeah,
there's
like the main street that we argue
right.
about.
But yeah, Nephi, the two main roads into and out of town are Main Street and Track Street. When you look on a map, it doesn't show Track Street. It's kind of a, just what everybody knows that it's called.
Locals only.
Because it's not on the street signs and it's not on the maps. But, you know, when we looked into this earlier, found that there used to be a railroad track on Track Street that went from downtown Nephi over to Sanpete County. That's now long gone, but that's the street it went down. And it's been Track Street probably since the 1800s. And
bring it back.
We still bring back the light rail. That's kidding. Because there's still a railroad track in Nephi, but it goes north and south. This one went east-west, like the Nile used to go. And pretty much follows the path of the Salt Creek because it goes up the canyon. And when we were started going into this, you know, a couple of years ago when I brought it up for a previous episode, I was surprised that it wasn't... You can't find it by searching it, really, unless you were looking for something about that rail line. It's not because... I don't know. I thought it would be on the map because it's not written anywhere, but everyone just knows that's what it is. Maybe that's just how you know. That's how you know if someone is familiar with Nephi, as if they know what Track Street is.
If you've been there long enough, you know. It's one of those things that dates back to the early settlers. We've talked about Nephi being a pioneer town, and many generations just kind of stay there. And that's one of the ways to know, I guess, that you're... I don't know, accepted, but your family's either been there for a while or you've been there long enough to know if somebody says, oh, it's down on Track Street, you don't have to say, where's that? Or you don't look at the map and say, there's no Track Street in this town. You just know, oh, it's okay. It's just on that road. Something connecting back to the trains, too, when we talk about the whole Pressure Machine album is based around the train coming through Nephi, the accident that have happened in Nephi. It's again referencing train tracks in a small town and a community that don't exist anymore. But the picture and the image of, I don't know, it all just kind of comes back to tell the same story in a weird way of this was a major thing that was used for generations, so much so that even now it's still referenced, even though it's been gone for, I don't even know how long, like long, long time.
100 years.
Yeah. 100 years, but it's still Track Street, and that's still what it's called because why, there used to be a train track here that nobody would know. And so a way, and I don't know, maybe putting way too much into it, but a way of connecting Brandon back to his formative years, and even though he felt like he might not belong or fit in, or this is showing that he kind of did in a way because he's referencing Track Street, and if you didn't fit in or know about Nephi or wasn't part of the culture, accepted, or wherever we want to go with whatever story we're telling or song we're discussing that day, this kind of shows the opposite effect of not only did he know and fit in with the culture, but he's giving a little, for some of us, he's putting that little reference and bell line in there, kind of connecting to like, okay, I'm big rock star Brandon now, but I'm still one of you, referencing it. And that's why, I mean, you go to a concert to hear more of it. I don't know. But it put a little spark in our minds that, okay, it is the same Brandon, and he still remembers where he came from.
Yeah, I mean, just picture it's 2008. Pop in this new killer CD in my car, in the CD player, start driving to work or whatever, and suddenly Track Street gets mentioned, and I point at the radio, and get on my phone and start texting Derek.
There's only one other person that will care.
It's like, yeah, everybody else, you know, it's just a name of a street and a random song. But to us, it means a lot. Yeah. So we appreciate that he put it in there, and we're just going to assume he did it for us. So I have a couple stories I want to tell about Track Street, or maybe just one. But so Track Street is one of the main roads into Nephi. It's a 35-mile-an-hour speed limit. So that is fast for Nephi. So when I was growing up, you know, playing Little League Baseball, there was some point where I got old enough to, maybe my mom didn't need to take me to every practice or to every game. I could take my bike. And a bike meant so much freedom at the time. I don't think my mom was too nervous about me riding around our neighborhood. But when it came to either crossing Main Street or Track Street, that was the big line that we had to cross. The baseball field was on Track Street, one of the main fields. We had, I guess, the Oracle Fields over by your house, but also across Track Street. Either way, so I'd get on my bike, throw on my mitt on the thing. I still remember riding down with my mitt on my handlebars and getting to Track Street and getting a little nervous because the cars were seemingly going really fast. I had to cross three lanes, one in each direction and a turning lane. And, you know, you'd wait till it got open and there was nobody coming and you'd race across as fast as you can before you got killed. But yeah, just brings back a lot of good memories of growing up. And I guess that point in life where I had enough independence and responsibility and was mature enough to, you know, at 10 years old or whatever it was, to cross the street by myself.
The busy tracks.
Busy 35 miles an hour. But Derek's house was across Track Street. For a long time, I rode my bike to 7-Eleven on Main Street, which was about 8 blocks away. And then when they put in the walkers on Track Street, I suddenly had a closer option. But when I went to 7-Eleven, I didn't have to cross Main Street. It was on my side of Main Street.
Your side of town.
So to have to go to your side of town to get to the walkers, to get to a closer place where I could get a drink. They didn't have Slurpees, but, you know, Icy's or whatever.
Yeah.
Slush puppies. sorry, random stories about Track Street.
There's going to be some random stories about Track Street. The funny story or thing that comes to my mind is, because it goes on to talk about cops and you're saying how that's fast. I was a member of the youth court for a bit, Jimmy, because I got myself in some trouble, and that was my way of getting out of the trouble was volunteering and going on the youth court. And it was a good experience. But one of the things that they've let you do or that you could do is...
So we got the blind leading the blind and the criminals judging the criminals?
Basically, is if you...
Derek the criminal.
If you don't want to be in trouble, you can come volunteer some hours down here. And it was really good for making friends and getting dates was being the person that was punishing your peers.
Hey, man, I'm on the youth court. I'm not, hey, man.
Oh, it was... Yeah, you're delegating out punishment to people that you have to see at school the next day. Real great. But... Anyway, got me.
Yeah, small town, yeah.
Yeah, small town. Definitely going to run into them again. But one of the things that they encourage or let you do, there was a cop that was in charge of the youth court kind of thing. And I don't remember his name.
Don't know who it was.
Dang it. I can't remember his name. But I don't think he was there a whole long time. But he let us come on and do ride-alongs with him. Have you ever done a ride-along, Jimmy?
Yes, and Cub Scouts we did because our Cub Scout leader was a cop.
So one... I have to take these kids out and do my fulfill my, I guess, calling as a Cub Scout leader. But I need to do my job, so we're gonna put them in the car, and they're gonna I'll get paid as I do my. That's smart.
Well, he took us to the police station to show us how they do fingerprints, and they did fingerprinted us.
We got thrown in a. Were you there? So
no,
I'm having flashbacks.
I've been.
So another guy that was a part of the youth court was a worked at the jail. Uh-huh. And we went out there one day, or night, I don't know if it was just to visit him or if we had been doing youth court or something like that. And he let us go in a cell with a bunch of prisoners.
What?
Yeah, it's a lot of inmates. And he's like, you want to go in there? And we were tough kids. You're like 16 or 17, not scared of anything. And even though you are, you're not going to show it or say it. So he's like, you want to go in there? And I'm like, yeah, we'll go in there. So I've been in Juab County jail, I guess it is, with
which one, the old one, or
it was the new one? It was like it was kind of new. I don't remember exactly the date that it was. Maybe that's what we were touring that. I don't know. But we were in there, and he put us in the cell with these. I'm sure they were probably the better of the bunch. Probably just drugs or something. But I remember one guy was bored, and they carved shaved a J in his head. Like, all of his hair was gone except for a J for Juab in the back of his head. And they were telling us, like, don't do drugs or something because your life will end up like this. I don't know. I'm sure it was like one of those scared straight things almost. But or he was just bored and thought it would be funny, and I didn't get shanked. So now I got street cred. Well, I was doing this ride-along with the cop, and one of his favorite spots to go was up by the golf course coming in from San Pete on Track Street, because it goes from like 55 or whatever it is through the canyon there and drops to the 35, and he'd get people, and that was
his trap.
That was his spot. So that was when it comes to Track Street and going back over this song and talking about the cops on Track Street. I know we've talked about it going with the, was it Desperate Things?
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of were talking about it had to either be Main Street or Track Street and the cop in that song. This is kind of a prequel to that, as far as it's Track Street, and there's cops that are not on the up and up, I guess you'd say. So that's my Track Street story.
So it's 35 miles an hour. So, and he talks about how dark it is up the canyon. And so that's the 35 mile an hour road that goes up the canyon. So yeah, you reminded me of that ride along I did. It wasn't really a ride-along. It was just he gave us a ride from his house to the police station where we did our activity of fingerprinting, so they could have us in their system, because they knew it was only a matter of time since our fingerprint showed up somewhere it shouldn't. On the way there, he stopped on Track Street right by the elementary school, and he turned on his radar gun and showed us how it worked, and, you know, showing us all the people going over 35, so yeah.
Kids, check this out.
But then he reminded me, just think of all the ways I was scared straight by doing Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts. But we did a tour of the old jail, and I did a tour of the new jail with, you know, all the different scout leaders who apparently were all cops or sheriff or deputies or whatever. So, yeah, we definitely were familiar with that system and have done our best to stay out of it ever since.
The old jail was scary. It still is scary. The old jail is scary.
I just remember saying, this window is bulletproof glass. I've never seen that before. I was like, why would they need why would someone try to shoot through this?
We had a friend whose dad was a sheriff at a time, and I remember taking our bikes down by the old jail. I don't remember if there were people there or not at the time, but the windows were kind of faced the outdoor. And I don't remember if it was just one of those scary stories that we said or if it really happened, but you could hear people like, not like ghostly, but like, I remember hearing people trying to talk to you, and it scared us, or we were there to get scared and telling us that we could hear it. I don't remember the exact context of it, but I just remember that was kind of a scary jail. Or maybe it was just because of the age and riding our bikes. I don't know. But the other weird thing about this song, or thing that kind of caught my attention, is, I mean, the cops are not up to anything good here, but they'll steal your dreams and kill your prayers. That's a pretty serious accusation. That's a line there of, not only will they take away your dreams, whatever that is, I'm sure they're just arresting this lady who's out trying to make a living, but kill your prayers, Jimmy. That's
very strong.
That's very strong. I thought, where'd that come from? You know, and then that goes on to talk about, wait for something better, no one behind you, watching your shadows, this feeling won't go. Instantly, I had, you know what he's saying there. If you've ever had somebody kind of just standing behind you, and you turn around and you didn't realize they were there, and they're like, there's somebody, and then you get that feeling like you'll be, you know, again, you'll be riding your bike as a youth down past the jail, because now you have to go down there without your friend there. and you ought to, like, there's certain times in your life where you just have, or you're in a house or whatever, and you have just the creepy feeling of like a shadow, there's something behind you, and that feeling of, like, trying to get it to go away, of like, I'm here by myself, there's nothing here, but the feeling won't go. I instantly. Another great line by Brandon. Everybody can relate to that. I hope. I definitely could. So I just thought those were two pretty, I mean, that one's just a great mental image. You know what he's talking about. And the other one was just like, my goodness, these cops, what, how are they killing prayers? It was just, I mean, usually I'm fascinated on Track Street in this song. So breaking it down and seeing some of the message in the early storyline here. I'm like, man, this is some serious, this isn't playtime. These cops are out to ruin lives here, so.
Yeah, I really like the lyric, A History of Blisters, Your Brothers and Your Sisters, Somewhere in the Pages We Forgot. So he rhymes blisters and sisters, but I think blister is a good representation of friction. You know, the blisters caused by friction. And you think of, you know, siblings, there's, or what would drive someone to prostitution? It could be, you know, family trouble, or you don't have a place where you fit, so you end up in the wrong crowd, or you end up with somebody who takes advantage of you, or you're fancy and your mom can't take care of you because she's got a baby to feed and she can't feed you too.
It's a fine Southern gentleman, though.
And, yeah, but that friction that can come from family relationships that can lead you to, you know, it can come from a lot of ways, but I love the imagery of that with the way he rhymes those lines. And Somewhere in the Pages We Forgot, you know, it's like, it seems like a lifetime ago and maybe it wasn't that bad now that I'm in a worse situation. You know, sometimes you lose the plot, you get lost in what's going on because you're still focused on the details, or
yeah, it's almost
life
like
changes, whatever.
We want justice so mad that we don't think about how the person got to this point.
Yeah.
They're still a person, an individual, have a family, have a history, like you're saying. We just want justice, and you're breaking whatever the law is, so we forget about the person.
Yeah, you think they shouldn't be doing this. You don't think, you don't feel a lot of sympathy for them. You feel mad at them and that they need to pay for what they've done.
We're going to be the ones
that you kill their prayers. And your sky is full of dreams, but you don't know how to fly. It's like,
that's a line.
Yeah.
That was the other thing I thought. As far as tattoos and things go, or things, that line,
it's just kind of depressing.
It's really depressing.
It's not as inspirational, but
it
could be.
But like, what an image of like, it's full of dreams, but we forgot how to fly. And I think that's going back to, at least with this song, it goes back to childhood for me and you. And you think back to a child, or, you know, Jackie Candy obviously was a child at some point. And we have these big dreams and hopes and wishes, and we're going to do all these great things. And somewhere along the way, for most of us, life comes and you have to make decisions, and you end up doing whatever you end up doing, whether that's selling yourself on Track Street, or your accountant somewhere crunching numbers. It's not what you wanted to do when you were growing up. You wanted to sell ice cream and play professional baseball or something like that. But you look up and like, the dreams are still out there. There's people still doing this, but like, yeah, it's depressing as could be, but somewhere we forget, like, or you can't fly. Like it's there. You can see it's there, but you just don't know how to fly. Like, I don't know. It's a great line. It's not a great story, but it's a great line.
Yeah. It's very, evokes a lot of imagery of, you know, and things that you can relate to, you know, the dreams that are still there. You still remember them, but you realize that, you know, you get told when you're growing up that you can do anything you put your mind to. And at some point you realize, no, not so much. No. You can't do anything.
I'm not going to be an astronaut anymore.
Yeah. But I might still want to do it, but I have enough experience to know that it's not in the cards. So
I wonder if that's somewhere in the pages, it's for God as well, as far as, yeah, somewhere along the, yeah, somewhere along life's journey, you forget that that is what you want to do or your goal, because point where you probably could have done, I mean, whatever, or at least went on the path to try, but you make, yeah, different choices and yeah, it gets forgotten.
Yeah, great imagery of a story, you know, your story and the pages of your story and how your dream has gotten lost in those pages as time's gone on.
Another kind of image and thing that comes out here and is addressed in a few other songs, like Land of the Free, and like we were talking about Desperate Things, is there's this image of police brutality. And at the time, I don't remember it being a big story. Obviously, since then, it's became a big controversial story numerous times. So I don't know if there was something that's happened, or the Brandon witnessed, or that went down that I'm not aware of, but it seems to have struck a chord with Brandon at some point of kind of this crooked cops. Maybe it was a lot of watching The Wire and SVUs. I don't know, but it's kind of interesting. It
wasn't from the Waltons.
No, it wasn't from the Waltons. So I just kind of think it's interesting that that seems to be a storyline in a few different stories.
And yeah, West Hills 2. The cops beat my door down and kicked me out while I was sleeping.
And here there's, I mean,
from my own bed.
The blood hasn't even dried, but take your number, you know, get detained. You're down at that nice new prison or jail, and there's Derek as a youth wandering around, you know, in there with you. But yeah, it's just kind of interesting. I think it does show kind of some activism as far as things that are important to, I guess I'd say Brandon or the band as well. It's probably some social justice in there too, which we don't talk a whole lot about that kind of thing, but it's worth noting.
Yeah, he says, "You got to be stronger than the story. Don't let it blind you. Rivers are shallow." I thought this is, you know, every time he brings up river, I have to grab onto that, because the previous album, he's saying the river is wild, and now he's saying the river is shallow. So I think of Salt Creek and how it's a pretty slow, shallow stream, but that doesn't mean it's necessarily not wild. It's just sometimes you might be being taken down the river in the rapids, and then all you realize, you put your feet down and realize all you had to do was stand up. And
yeah, I think that's a thing, especially in life, as we're talking, sometimes it looks overwhelming. You lose track of your dreams. You can't fly up to the sky. There's this big river, and sometimes we see these obstacles in front of us, and you're just like, man, that's impossible to cross. There's no way of getting from selling yourself down a track street to whatever better life you want to get to, or whatever your scenario in life is. Once you realize that, you know, I think that's an old analogy that sometimes it's a mile long, but an inch deep or whatever. But looking at it, you can't tell from the surface until you actually try and get into it. Then you realize it's a shallow river, and with a little work, but not nearly as much as what you thought, you can cross it. Or, you know, people think they're going to drown and get in this accident in the river. I don't know, river rafting accident, something like that. And then you just realize you can just stand up and walk to shore. So I think sometimes in life we lose perspective or forget where we're at or what we want to do, or lost track of sight of our dreams, and you're in the middle of the river, you think there's no hope, and then you just stand up and it's shallow and you can change directions. So another good metaphor. A lot of good images. Like, for a song about prostitution in Nephi, Jimmy, a lot of good images.
Yeah, I like how he repeats that line you brought up about shadows behind you. This feeling won't go, and that's how he ends it. There's something better. This feeling won't go. So I think that wait for something better, wait for it, wait for it, wait for it, is how it ends. This feeling that something better might come is not leaving either, just like the feeling of that someone might be watching over you. There's a lot of probably mixed emotions, but they persist, and that's where I think hope comes from, is the feeling that that persists, that things are going to get better, that you'll prosper in this land, and the blessing will come from the mount, down from the mountain.
There's the phrase, hope springs eternal.
Yeah.
And that could be your river there. But I think there is some aspect to that too, as far as this feeling won't go. And when things get going better for some people, there's still that feeling that it's about, like, I think there's, you know, different personality types, obviously, but there's some people that just can't help but think, like, because once in my life I got pulled over and got a ticket, the cops are always out to get me. Or I didn't get a job promotion that I should have got. The system's out to get me. Like, even when things get going better, you still got that shadow behind you, and the feeling just won't go. Like,
you got a reputation, or
yeah, like,
you got something you just can't shake.
I don't know at the time if this Brandon is dealing with, because he had a reputation and some things, and he's kind of changing his life. And I don't know if it was that story, like, yeah, but you used to do this or that, or, you know, you said this or that. I don't know if it's anything to reference that, but with the story itself, I think we're all in situations where whenever things start going really good or really bad in our lives, there's always the counter side of, this is all about to fall. You're playing Jenga, and that feeling sometimes just won't go. But wait for it, and it will. So it's a positive turn on what could be a very depressing song lyrically.
You mentioned, if this is happening in Nephi because of the Track Street reference, you know, it fits well with Pressure Machine in that album, and the narrative of a misfit of the town that, you know, has a reputation or is doing something that everyone else looks down on, or something that we see a lot in that album that maybe is a precursor for that 15 years ahead of its time.
I don't know if he's getting inspiration from previous cop type stories and songs or references to Nephi. Or if Nephi just fit the narrative for a random street name and it works in their storyline. I'm not familiar with any big prostitution stings ever in Nephi, but I'm not going to be so bold as to say it's never happened. But again, Las Vegas is a lot more known for that kind of activity. Somewhere in the world's merge. Either way, I guess it doesn't really matter. It's the thought behind the song and the story is Doesn't matter who you are or what you're doing. At some point, you had hopes and dreams, and you're a person, and people should see you that way instead of as a criminal or whatever, and life can get better and should get better for everybody. So keep plugging along. I think that's what I got out of it, Jimmy.
Yeah, and I made a reference to it earlier, but the similar sentiment behind this, the getting by, that hold on till the getting's good. Wait for it. There's something better out there. Don't give up on it. Maybe it's just the getting by
that's why
it's going to get you there.
When Pressure Machine came out, and a lot of the negativity and comments came out that, like, this isn't the Killers, and I don't know, what's this band? This is all new. Like, the sound and style, once again, was different than what we've heard before. But the messaging and the song, like, lyrically, like, going clear back to even Hot Fuss, me and Jimmy have been talking.
If you can, hold on.
It's the same story imagery or story, I don't know, storyline's the right word, but the ideas behind the music and the lyrics seem to, like, all kind of connect. It might not be the same presentation, and obviously it's not the same format and music style, because nobody wants five albums of hearing the same song presented five different, I don't know. I guess we get different versions of the same song of the getting by, and we'll listen to all million of them.
And Taylor Swift's making a pretty good living off of that kind of
true
thing.
That's why I kind of had to catch myself a little bit, but for the most part,
unless you're a really special artist,
yeah,
not everybody can do that.
Yeah, not for the most part, but overall, lyrically and songwriting has evolved. Brandon's storytelling's gotten better, and his way that he's been able to weave and tell stories or put in lines of truth or things that catch you and make you think about, you know, contemplate life and songs and just what makes music great, it changes and evolves. But ultimately, it's the same, like, same storyteller. So it's going to be kind of the same how he sees life. So when people say that about Pressure Machine, obviously, I mean, you loved it because we're there. That's Nephi. That's where we're from. And a lot of other people did too. But sometimes online, you just see the, I don't even know what this band is. How is this the same band that brought us Hot Fuss and stuff? It's like, read the lyrics, you know? It's obviously not the same synth going and beats or whatever, but the message and the songs get closer. The more you go, the more it all comes together. It's almost a big story and a big picture and putting a bow on it, so.
Yeah, I think going back and rediscovering these older albums has helped me a lot to see just how good Brandon has always been at writing and at storytelling. And I think in an early episode of our podcast, I talked about, you know, I used Somebody Told Me as an example of how much Brandon's writing has improved over the years from going, you know, telling these elaborate stories with a lot of symbolism now to back then when he was writing about you had a boyfriend look like a girlfriend. You know, I think that was, I was kind of overlooking a lot of this early writing that's really good and really symbolic and thoughtful. And it's not just words that he throws out there. The way he weaves the story is impressive even back then. But yeah, even just, you know, we talked last episode about how even in a song like Spaceman that seems just kind of like this just made up story about getting abducted by aliens, but people are finding inspiration in that. And, you know, over the years, as we look at these recurring themes of hold on and wait for it and hold on till the getting's good, there's a lot of inspiration in the songs that even when there's a song like Spaceman that seems a little more lighthearted, people are still finding inspiration to find help for their depression and things like that. So, yeah, definitely it's a theme that runs through all the music that, you know, people are finding hope in, which is awesome.
One last thing, Jimmy, for me anyway, I don't know if you got anything else to add with the song. As far as the song, I'm pretty much done until you say something that sparks me for 20 minutes, but I just want to throw out there, thanks to everybody that's been responding to our meetup. I've had several people say that they'd like to have a Coke with us if I bring a Coke to the line before the concert on the, was it the 31st?
Uh-huh.
So if you're going to the Vegas residency show on the 31st, of which month?
August.
I'm so messed up in my head right now trying to put dates together. August 31st and you'd like a Coca-Cola Classic, just let me know. I got enough people now that will, I'll go. I don't know. I don't want to commit, Jimmy. I don't know what your schedule's going to be.
I
want
to go,
day.
Yeah.
We'll come by and say hi, and who knows? I might try to come up with some sort of a, I always like to give people things, so I don't know. Maybe we'll come up with some novelty item or something that you can have. A sticker, a hat, a shirt, a shoe, bean and beef burrito. I don't know, but...
Derek's a good gift giver, so look forward to it.
If you're interested, let us know, because I'm going to have to know how many Coca-Cola cans or bottles or whatever to bring. So, and I have a way to... they're going to be ice cold. And if you don't drink Coca-Cola, sorry. I don't know. Maybe I could bring you a water bottle. I'm a little limited on space and what we can do, so...
I might be able to round up a couple of glass bottles of Coke from 1999.
Maybe I'll get you a Fanta. I got some Tab. If you're really into Tab... I do have some, it's been discontinued, but I happen to have a stash of Tab. So, anyways, it's been kind of cool to see people that are like, yeah, we'd like to meet up or talk or chat. And so that was serious, I guess, is what I'm saying. If you're interested in that, let us know. We'll probably have to come up with some sort of a time to go over to the queue, and it's going to be not too early, but not too late because we got to gamble or do things. I don't know. You're in Vegas.
We're not going to hold your spot in line for you. No.
I might get a number on my hand just to say I had one, though.
Number 200.
Yeah. Also, John, friend John of the show, is sending us some shirts. And I wanted to say publicly, thank you, John. That's very nice and generous.
John McDonald. Not
John McDonald. Well, yeah. I guess there's a few Johns out there. John's a very common name. John McDonald. Who's a guest of the show and a big Killers fan is sending some shirts, and I wanted to publicly say thank you because that's very nice.
Thank you, John. Well, I before we finish, I want to talk about the title, If This Is Your Life, a little bit. Last thing I wanted to talk about. So, This Is Your Life is not a phrase that is in the song, but it's a song about somebody's life, obviously. But if you put the accent or emphasis on a different part of the title, it changes the meaning for me. Instead of This Is Your Life and being a story about Jackie, if you say This Is Your Life, then maybe you can find ways that it applies to you too. But when I hear the title, This Is Your Life, or This Is Your Life, Derek, this song is about you, even though you're not into any of that stuff. You still have dreams that you can chase.
I can't fly, Jimmy.
I don't know where I was. I think, as I read up about it, I think I learned about the TV show from the 50s called This Is Your Life. I think I learned about it from Sesame Street because they did a parody of it a few times where they would bring up like a loaf of bread or a vegetable and then talk about how all important things in its life or something. But it was a real TV show. I guess it started as a radio show, where they would surprise someone by talking about them and bringing on people from their life that they'd had an impact on or that had an impact on them. And you know, it turns into this real tearjerker, heartstring-pulling episode about this person and the impact that they've had on people. And I guess there's been a couple international versions and a couple of remakes of it, but I found out in doing that, you know, that's the first thing that came to mind when I hear the title. And doing some research on that, I found out that there was a professional wrestling version with Mick Foley.
Mick Foley in the Rock,
so
Jimmy.
I had to bring that one up because that's Derek's thing. So This Is Your Life. This Is Your Life, or This Is Your Life. You can have a lot of different meanings depending on where you put the emphasis. So.
Well, I thought the same thing because usually with the Killers, either the album title or the song title comes from a song. And this one, same thing, it doesn't. And I thought it was a reference to that old TV show. And then, of course, I did think about the Mankind and the Rock segment. But you guys can Google that on your own time. I could talk for another long time about that.
So last thing, somebody on Reddit, I think, said that it was on their bucket list to hear this song live and to participate in the hand wave at the end. And I was thinking, you know, picturing like, just saying goodbye or something, but I had to look up some live versions of the song, and at Royal Albert Hall and at a festival, you know, I found three versions of it where they do this, where Brandon does this, where toward the end, I don't remember which part of the song, but he starts moving his arms back and forth to the beat. Really, it's a really fast beat, so you have to move your arms, you have to wave your arms really fast. But I'm sure there's, at the end of a concert, at the end of a song, there's a lot of body odor going around as people have their arms up in the air and are waving it back and forth. But
wait for it. Wait for it.
Yeah. But it was a cool, you know, there's certain songs where Brandon does the same thing, and, you know, the fans know to expect it. I was not familiar with this one, but it was cool to see that tradition that Brandon started and that his people continue to participate and wave their arms. You know, sometimes people will put up a lighter or whatever and then their arm gets tired, but it seems like people really stick with it and wave their arms back and forth through the rest of the song. So I thought that was cool, but something I didn't know about.
I had no clue. Yeah,
go check it out.
It'll be interesting someday to get a list of every call and response type thing that Life Killer shows.
His demand, hip thrust, and his... Yeah, when he puts his arm out to "Can't Wait for Tomorrow," there's a lot of stuff like that. But
I mean, the salute we talked about, and now this.
People live for that stuff. It's,
I mean, yeah. There's a whole there's a whole barricade of people that know what they're looking for and when it's going to happen, to the point of I'm going to bring a sign and hold it up at this time so I can get up to the mic. There's a whole almost subculture there of people that know a lot more than us and probably should be. Or should be doing a podcast about it, but you're not, so we are.
Well, that's all I've got on This Is Your Life.
Well, go out and live your best life, and remember, this is your life.
That's another episode down from Lonely Town.